You're tuned in to KJuice 770 880 AM on the UCSB campus, and this is the official radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent, Poodle Radio. This is KJuice 770-880 AM on the UCSB campus, and this is also Poodle Radio, the official radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. My name is Colin Marshall. I'll let you know if you're listening to this on campus. It's a lot easier if you tune in on independent.com. It's uploaded every Monday morning. You can stream that day or anytime afterward. On this edition, corresponding to the issue of the paper, volume 24, number 218, got a very special treat here for you. I'm here with Mickey Garcia, Executive Director of the Santa Barbara Contemporary Arts Forum, right here in the studio. Mickey, welcome to Poodle Radio.
Thanks, Colin.
Tell us a little bit about your role at CAF, what you do, and it's a big job, I know, and you're also the curator, of course, of the exhibit covered on the cover right here. What's your general, how do you describe your duties there?
Well, CAF, the Contemporary Arts Forum, is an alternative arts space, and it is a fairly small space administratively. That is to say that we have five paid staff members and a huge volunteer base and a board of about 17. So I am, as the executive director, in charge of everything from press, membership, development, finance, as well, of course, programming and exhibitions.
And you've been there for 5 years?
Yes.
What brought you over to Santa Barbara?
The job, actually. I was working I'd worked at the Museum of Contemporary Art San Diego years before. So I knew California and had loved my experience here. So when I was in New York as working as a curator, I interviewed and was fortunate enough to land this directorship at CAF and have been working here ever since.
Now, of course, you are the executive director, but you've also curated this exhibit. How often do you do both?
Well, yes, I am the chief curator in that I determine the exhibition program from year to year. So that includes mentoring and inviting my assistant curator to do work, as well as inviting curators outside of the area to bring in their points of view and the relationships with artists that they have so that they can lend a sort of a different dimension to the exhibition program that I say I might be more attuned to.
Now, give us a little bit of a preview of what our audience is going to hear about later in the show. We'll talk about this exhibit, this Sanford Biggers, Moon Medicine. What's the most intriguing part of this to people, do you find, generally?
I think the most intriguing part of the Contemporary Arts Forum in general is that we're a space that is dedicated to the art of our time. And so in that respect, we are dealing with showing and discussing art that is responding to the phenomenon that's happening in our time. And it is a way for us to think creatively and imaginatively about the issues that we all face. So I think that's really exciting to come in to CAF and experience things that maybe we all have an avenue into thinking about.
And now I'll dial it in just a little bit. About this specific exhibit, what would you say people have so far found most intriguing about it? And in brief, because we want to tease this,
right,
we'll talk about it later.
Oh, the Sanford Biggers Moon Medicine exhibition is really a tour de force exhibition of this mid-career artist who's one of the most important American, but definitely one of the most important African-American artists of our generation. So it's wonderful to see this artist as he develops new work, but it's also a gorgeous show. It's got something for everyone. There's photography and video and sculpture, music.
Indeed. Now we're going to talk a lot more about that, so be sure you stay tuned. But we're also going to play, as usual, some tracks from musicians, bands, artists, groups, soon to play in Santa Barbara. At the top of the hour, we heard Tall Tales and Constant. They're playing in Muddy Waters Sunday, the 21st of this month. Now, from Hacienda, it's I Keep Waiting, and they're playing Soho Monday, the 3rd of May. So a little bit of an early notice for you on Poodle Radio, on KJUICE 77880 AM on the UCSB campus and streaming on independent.com.
Thank you. Green Shorts Film Festival is an annual video contest focused on saving our planet and being green. This year, the contest theme is Bringing It Home. We want your compelling and pragmatic solutions and entertaining commentaries on energy independence, sustainability, and a green future. Write, produce, direct, edit, and or score your own original short film. And learn how with tutorials and workshops at Santa Barbara Channels. Members can even use SB Channel's studio and gear. You can win a MacBook from Sammy's Camera and other great prizes, and winners will be aired on Channel 17 and screened at this year's Earth Day Festival organized by the Community Environmental Council. For more info, go to greenshortsfilmfest.org or call the CEC at 805-963-0583.
Are you interested in doing a KCSB news internship? KCSBFM is recruiting students and community members to be news reporters. You will acquire radio production skills and produce news stories about issues important to you and to our community. Please attend our spring orientation scheduled for Wednesday, March 31st at 6 p.m. in the KCSB courtyard under Stork Tower. For more information, call 805-893-2426. Or you can also email at news@kcsb.org.
You're listening to KJuice 770 880 in the UCSB residence halls.
It is KJuice 770-880 on the UCSB campus. I'm Colin Marshall, and this is Poodle Radio, the official radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. That was Mount Righteous with When the Child Awakes. They're playing the Bico Garage here in Isla Vista on Friday, the 3rd of April. Before that, before the break, Hacienda with I Keep Waiting, playing Soho on the 3rd of May. I'm here continuing the conversation with Mickey Garcia, Executive Director of the Santa Barbara Contemporary Arts Forum. Now, I have to know more about this exhibit. Sanford Biggers is the artist, someone you've known for quite some time. How far do you go back with him?
Oh, I probably met Sanford in early 2001 or late 2001.
In what context?
Well, I was working at a nonprofit, an arts institution in New York called the Public Art Fund, and he was one of a short list of artists who were invited to present proposals. And as it happens with many artists, he was not selected for a public art project, but we continued to evolve a professional relationship, which included my visiting his studio over the course of years and following his practice by seeing shows he was in and continuing a dialogue like I do with many artists.
And what did you find intriguing about his work initially?
What I think is so resonant for me about Sanford is that his work, first of all, it's incredibly gorgeously crafted and produced, and he really pays attention to skill and craftsmanship. But also there is a his work reflects a hybridity, a sense of hybridity that I think more and more is a vehicle for us to look at the world we live in today. That is to say that he's an African-American artist. He deals with issues of African-American history, but is also has his MFA from very sort of distinguished schools, has traveled the world, and uses those influences as well. And so he creates a very eclectic, sort of syncretic approach to art making and to communication visually that I think is something that we all are gravitating more toward. I know that's sounding really conceptual. Once we talk about the work, I think it'll start to make sense.
Eclectic and syncretic. These are good words because he does seem like a man who, by design or just because it's his interest, is not pinned downable. You can't put him in the same mold as anybody else because he's reached pretty far and wide just within his own career. And he will have gotten a pretty good introduction, or a reader will have gotten a good introduction to him if they picked up this issue. Of course, his name's right here on the cover. But for those who have not, and because he's so hard to encapsulate, it's a challenge. How can you introduce him in a basic sense to those who haven't read this article yet, or perhaps haven't stopped by CAF?
Well, he is an artist who, as you say, is elusive and hard to pin down. And I think that is probably one of his most signature points. But he's an artist who uses sculpture, photography, installation, video, music, just about any medium to express a kind of way, to express his own story. And his own story is one of a person who is steeped in minds different histories, minds different cultures, to really think about maybe those things that are universal, like transcendence and spirituality and reconciliation and freedom from pain. Those are the kinds of large themes that he's exploring, and he uses quite a diverse range of influences and themes and mediums to get that across.
And as you mentioned, this is an African-American man who grew up, I believe, in Los Angeles, was that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And he lived in Japan for a while, several different cities there. How far does his cultural reach extend?
Okay, well, he was born in L.A. He went to Morehouse, which is an all-black college. He then moved to Japan, and ever since then he went to the Art Institute of Chicago. He now teaches at Columbia. But like many artists, one of the things that I think is really great about this exhibition and this artist is that he really is kind of a reflection of what's going on in the larger art world, and that is that we have someone who is rejecting a specific medium or a specific discipline, and we have someone who's internationally locked in, or, you know, really touch base internationally. So he's had residencies, artist residencies in Indonesia, Germany. He's about to go to Brazil, Italy.
Wow.
He speaks Italian and Japanese. That kind of person who draws from such different diversity, you know, diverse cultures, is really more and more like the kind of people in general that we're all becoming.
It's hard not to say he's the future, isn't it?
It's, you know, I liken him to sort of Blade Runner. But I do think you're right. I think that the model that he shows and produces is really a model that we're all sort of looking at, and that is one that's not pure, that's not monolithic, quite the opposite.
Since you've been at CAF, have you been looking for an opportunity to get him to show there, or is this simply an alignment of the stars, essentially? And you thought, hey, this is going to work out. This guy that I have known for a while, he actually could show here, or has it been a goal for you?
Oh, I think that a little of both.
Oh, okay.
But I do. As it says in the article, one of my jobs as the chief curator and executive director is to make sure that we have programming that is diverse in voice and scope and media. And there are several artists that I travel around the world to visit and to see. That includes new ones I've never met before and old ones that I've had ongoing relationships with. It. And Sanford is definitely one of them who really had stood out. I was at his studio about 2 years ago, and he said, you know, I really feel like I've come to this point where I really know the work I'm doing. It's almost making itself, and I really want to be confused. And he talks about that in the article. I want to challenge myself,
like,
basically.
That.
I want to make things that I don't know the outcome. And I said, you know, that's a great moment. This is what, if you are at a point where you want to be risk-taking, that's what CAF is for. We call ourselves a lab, for example.
I like that way of framing it. And also, I think back to the interview you did with him for City 2, with the website. And he talks about his own Buddhist principles, which I'm sure inform a lot of this. He says, I just make things. And I link that up to what you've just said, that there's a certain risk-taking, but he likes that. I don't want to speak for him, but as you said, he likes to have that, the uncertain outcome, be something he is working with. How much of the Buddhism he talks about having is involved, you think, in the work he does?
I think it is in every single thread of the work.
Oh.
And if you met him, I think his artistic practice is incredibly influenced by this, what I call in the catalog, receptive posture. And it is, he talked to me about everyone has something to teach you. Everything has something to teach you. And when you have an artist really approaching life like that, he really creates work that is, as we were talking about, this sort of receptive sensory feeler for what is happening. And so his work really reflects this absorption.
When we come back, we'll talk more about the current exhibition from Sanford Biggers at the Santa Barbara Contemporary Art Forum. Contemporary Arts Forum, sorry, it's plural. I shouldn't singularize it. Once again, this is Poodle Radio on KJUICE 77880 on the UCSB campus. Going to hear some more music from Santa Barbara, or artists coming to Santa Barbara, I should say, bands, groups, musicians, and whatnot, collected by our associate arts editor at the Indy and Poodle Radio music producer, Ali Cummingore. Here's a Rocco DeLuca and The Burden with Alilia.
Það snjór úti og við erum búin að fara í yndislega veislu búin að gera fullt af frábærum hlutum í dag búin að borða mjög mikið að góðum mat ég heldur sig bara mjög ánægði með þetta allt saman búin að fóka gott að borða og drekka búin að spjalla mikið og búin að fara til út í umræði mér sér og ég held að það sé alveg búið að opna innan fyrir einhverja rási bara sem það var ekki búið að opna fyrir aður getur gert eitthvað á þessu Thank you.
Lillian, I see your eyes. They are big as northern skies. If I could afford pearls and jewels, I would give them to you.
On Thursday, April 1st at 7:30 p.m., UCSB Arts and Lectures presents Werner Herzog's Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, in Campbell Hall. Academy Award winner Nicolas Cage gives a performance that is hailed as his best in years in this darkly comical film from acclaimed German director. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, Cage portrays a high-functioning addict and deeply intuitive detective reigning over the ruins of New Orleans with authority and abandon. Complicating his life is the prostitute he loves, played by Eva Mendes. The result was a standout film released in 2009, equally sad and manically humorous. An evening with Werner Herzog and conversation with Pico Ayer will follow on Wednesday, April 7th at 8 p.m. at UCSB Campbell Hall. Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans is being presented for free for UCSB students. For tickets or more information to either event, see www.artsandlectures.ucsb.edu or call 893-3535. KCSB is a major supporter of the UCSB Arts and Lectures Spring Film Series.
Aiding Haitian Education and Development, AHEAD, is a student-run organization founded in 2009 to raise awareness on the UCSB campus and the larger community about the many issues which plague Haiti. AHEAD is now asking for your support in aiding the victims of the devastating earthquake, which has claimed the lives of nearly 300,000 people and left several million others homeless. Along with BlimeAid, a relief initiative that began in 2007 to support orphans in Haiti, AHEAD seeks to organize the Santa Barbara community in an effort to collect the 10 staples of life. The 10 staples of life include rice, beans, milk powder, liquid formulas, peanut butter, only in plastic jars please, dried meat, spaghetti, cooking oil, bleach tablets, and multivitamins. There are two designated drop-off spots where you can bring these items. One is located at the main entrance to Davidson Library, and the other one is located near the main entrance to the University Center. Once collected, these food items will be shipped directly to two orphanages in Port-au-Prince. For more information on the food drive, please visit either lime-aid.tv or AHEAD's Facebook page. Cash donations are also appreciated and are tax deductible via LimeAid's parent organization, Global Water Trust. Let's not forget about Haiti. Thank you very much for your generosity and support of this ongoing project.
Hey, this is Nick from Geeklectic, and you're listening to KJUICE 770-880 in the UCSB dorms.
Triple death, candy flip, are you X?
It is KJU 770 880 AM in the UCSB residence halls, and I believe elsewhere on campus. My name is Colin Marshall, host of Poodle Radio, the official radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent, here with Mickey Garcia, executive director of the Santa Barbara Contemporary Arts Forum. We are going to continue our discussion of the show on the cover of this week's issue of the paper. Sanford Biggers is in, well, I was going to say in town, but he's probably moved on to work on his next fantastic thing, right? His work is in town.
His work is in town, and he'll be in town April 1st for our first Thursday Forum Lounge event. He'll be the performer.
Oh, all right. So he's going to perform. Is he going to talk as well, or is it what's the program?
He won't talk, but he will be doing a perform. He'll be there the entire evening of the first Thursday. He'll be performing with a local Santa Barbara gamelan troupe.
Oh boy.
And DJ Jahi Sundance from LA, who is a DJ that does a lot of hip hop and other things, but who studied gamelan in undergrad.
Wow.
So we're going to be screening film, and there will be a mashup of gamelan and hip hop and all kinds of things.
Excellent. I'm not going to miss that. So save the date, dear listeners. That's April 1st?
April 1st. 7 o'clock.
Now, we went over Sanford's biography, essentially. What makes him unique? Now, the show itself that's going on at CAF, and as we said off mic, it's got so much to it, it's going to be hard to cover the ground here, but how can you describe sort of the scope of the show?
The show, as I mentioned before, is multidisciplinary, so it's got everything from video and to photography to a large-scale sculptural installation, actually, and the work is primarily new. There are three pieces in the show that were commissioned specifically for this exhibition, so they have never been before seen, which is very exciting. And then the exhibition, it kind of dances around a few different subject matters. There's one piece that is a sculpture that Charles wrote about in the article called Constellation. And it begins or sort of starts as a starting point or a departure, thinks about Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad. It's a tree, a lone stark tree, situated on a starry platform, and on one of the branches is a quilt, a seven sister star pattern quilt that hangs over one of the branches. It takes two very important sort of coded symbols of the Underground Railroad, that is slaves going north to freedom, in that Harriet Tubman followed the North Star, and all the Underground Railroad conductors followed the North Star. So you've got this constellation, you've got an inverted celestial sky. And then there is also the quilt, which it was known that the quilt was a code. It was a secret code used by people who were sheltering slaves. If you had a quilt in the window, then it was okay. If you had it turned one way, then it was not good to come. So he's using these references as points of departure for this piece. But that piece is kind of a central roadmap to the rest of the exhibition, all rest of the works in the exhibition, in that it surrounds a tree, and trees play a really big part in Sanford's work, in that it has both positive and maybe painful connotations. The tree being where, you know, Buddha found enlightenment under the tree.
Yes.
The tree is the axis mundi. But the tree also, in African-American consciousness, also is the site of lynching and some harrowing events. So it slips between regeneration and resentment and pain. And so in the exhibition, you'll see the tree in many forms.
And then what else, this is the entree for viewers into the rest of the show. What else is going on in the gallery as well?
There are photographs, there's an interrelated photograph, sculpture, and video of a character that whose name is Ricardo. He's a real life person that Sanford met at a residency he did in Stuttgart, Germany. Ricardo's a Brazilian expatriate who's living in Germany now and who's kind of the head of the Brazilian expatriate culture there.
The internationalism here is just, it's continuing. Yep. It's astounding.
So Ricardo is an acrobat. He is a clown. He's a stuntman. He's many different things. And Sanford befriended Ricardo and did a film that is not in any way a linear narrative, but a film that explores sense of identity in the photographs as well as in the video. Ricardo is shown applying white face makeup and then sort of taking it off in a kind of frenzied manner. And obviously that can refer to the masks that we all wear. It can refer to Japanese kabuki theater masks, but it also refers to blackface in minstrelsy in African American history. So again, all of his works are more open-ended than they are closed interpretations.
Now, you mentioned that collaboration of his. Are there any other works involved that are in some sense collaborative?
Sure. The reason why we're having a gamelan choir at the performance is because the music for the video is called Shuffle in the gallery, was taken by Sanford with a handheld camera while he was traveling through Indonesia. He had another residency to go to the Jakarta Music Festival there. So he's got some gamelan music, again, mashed up with some of his own music. He plays the piano and has traveled to perform with various musicians, and some other samples. So it's this mix of Eastern, Western, global culture that's in the video. But he also works a lot doing performances and casting different singers, musicians in many of his works.
What kind of I know this is going to sound like a super grand question, but what sort of an experience do you hope that the visitors to CAF have with this exhibition?
I think that ultimately why I am so drawn to Sanford's work and why I believe his work can be so powerful is that this elusiveness of his, I think, is really a Buddhist notion of non-attachment. And when we think about things like slavery or lynching or any kind of person-to-person pain, the idea that if we dislocate ourselves from ideas of pain, pleasure, good, bad, if we can take that away and use compassion, for instance, which is another Buddhist tenet, to think about each other, that it really, it can get us away. It can enlighten us. And I think that this is what I hope Sanford's work can do, is it can get us away from the some of the things we've been taught, some of the assumptions we've made about African Americans, about artists, about anything really, and give us a more open, more compassionate way to understand our world. That sounds pretty grand, but I think
it works for me. But we've talked about some of the themes going on here, some of the practices going on that are shaped by race, shaped by, I don't know if religion is even the right term, shaped by philosophy. How much of this comes off in, I don't quite know how to put this, but how much of it is underlying in a way that a viewer might sort of feel, they'll feel these principles, they'll feel these ideas, and how much is right out there, detectably racial, detectably Buddhist, or what have you? Is any detectably on the surface racial or Buddhist, or is this all not subconscious, but is it something that'll come through in an experience rather than in a lesson?
I think that the work itself is incredibly visceral, and all of Sanford's work is gorgeous. So you have a physical response to a lot of his work in general. I also think that there are pieces that are meant to be evocative. For example, there's a sculpture there of a half Cheshire smile. It's the image on the cover, for instance. And for some people, that might evoke the Cheshire cat in Alice in Wonderland. For some other people, it might evoke Sambo's or Darkie toothpaste or Banana Chocolate and Blackface. It's in that kind of elliptical, evocation of different references that I think he really wants to have. He wants to have it be ambiguous in that way. But I do think that we, as Contemporary Arts Forum, it's our responsibility to be the conduit between the artist and the public, and therefore really take our job of interpretation seriously. So you can find lots of catalogs at our Education Resource Center. There's labels. We do tours. We try to really open it up to a deeper, you know, if you want to dig deeper, you can.
And I understand there's a fairly substantial monograph to go along with this?
Yes. Sanford and I were invited to a residency last year called Denniston Hill, and it's run by two rather well-known artists, Paul Pfeiffer, Julie Moretto, and we worked on a catalog there that in and of itself is not straightforward. Mm. It actually was inspired by the Argentine author Julio Cortázar's Hopscotch,
which
by it can be read one, you know, linearly.
Yes, that's been much discussed. That
yes, exactly.
Cool. Then there's so that has the same sensibility of, I don't know if ambiguity is the word, but the same sort of one will take something different depending on who one is, and there's going to be a different takeaway for as many people as experience it as the actual art itself has that he's doing for the show.
Exactly. It has a
lot. If that made sense.
It does. Okay. I mean, it's we try to get away from the kind of authoritative tone, like, when you see this work, you should think this, and really kind of have lots of images, lots of quotes and passages and things that would make you go, huh, you know, that's interesting, this idea of the constellation, or, oh, this is a quote by Sun Ra in the orchestra.
Right.
You know, those are the kinds of touch points, sort of touchstones we had.
And finally, you've been at CAF for 5 years, and presumably you're not planning to head out anytime soon, considering you've gotten something like this going on there. And presumably you have a vision for the future of CAF. How does Sanford's show represent, if it does, the direction you want to take CAF in the future?
Thanks for asking that. I do see. I'm thrilled that we got this kind of coverage, not only for the artist, but also it also represents this culmination of 5 years of the board and the staff working really hard to create a program that one now can see as a more than just one exhibition in a vacuum, but to look over 5 years of work that we're doing that is incredibly rigorous, that is a contribution to the field, that has a respect toward scholarship and ideas, and that has really created a national, if not international, reputation for dialogue and for attention toward living artists, practicing artists. And this country is woefully disrespectful of the artistic process and the creative process. And for that's really our intention, is to have as many people enjoy and partake of the art of our time to enrich their lives. And that's our mission.
Tell me how true this would be. Would it be accurate to say that your mission, your goal, your efforts at CAF have been to increase, and I use this term in as broad a fashion as possible, in as many meanings as you can think of it, but to increase the venue's connectedness?
Absolutely. I think of art as the discipline of all disciplines. And every artist that we show teaches me and hopefully the audience something else. We had an artist work with the Santa Barbara Natural History Museum with their seashell collection. We've had artists work and be inspired by Lotus Land. We had an exhibition last year on contemporary ceramics, a show on surfing. Every exhibition really is a way to more deeply engage with our surroundings.
Well, Mickey Garcia, thanks so much for taking the time to come on the program today.
Thank you so much.
Once again, Mickey Garcia is the executive director and the curator of the current exhibition at the Santa Barbara Contemporary Arts Forum upstairs in Paseo Nuevo. And of course, you can check out their website as well at sbcaf.org. And if you want to hear this show again, go ahead and stream it on independent.com. I've been Colin Marshall. This has been Poodle Radio, the official program of the Santa Barbara Independent. We're going to close it out with one more track provided by our music coordinator, music producer, music programmer, whatever you want to call her, Allie Cummingore. This track is The World's Greatest Ghosts with Fantasties, Phantastes, to clear that up.
There's nothing here. We got a lot to say about it. No one cares. But we got a lot of time to kill. A time to kill. Start this all again.